After two fatalities at the 2011 Paragliding World Championships in Piedrahita, Civil banned the use of uncertified open-class gliders in its sanctioned competitions. The Paragliding World Cup soon followed suit. 2012 was the first pure serial year in the majority of countries. I've recorded two podcasts, which are a 2012 competition roundup from an ex-open class and from a sports and traditional serial class competitor's perspective. There has been much discussion on the pros and cons of serial class, but these podcasts do not cover the controversy of banning of open class gliders, but they aim to look at the actual pilot experiences. In this podcast, I discuss the effects of the introduction of serial class for the 2012 season with a number of former open class pilots. They are Josh Cohn, Nick Greese, Adam Hill, Craig Morgan, Russ Ogden, Yasin Savov, and Adrian Thomas. If you have any interest in the international competition scene, these will be familiar names to you. All are top international competition pilots of the highest calibre, national champions, European champions, test pilots, and all compete in the PWC. If you've not already done so, you can download the Sports Traditional Serial Class Perspective podcast with James Bradley, Mike Miller, Idris Burt, and Pat Dower from the podcast page at www.judithmole.net/blog. I start this podcast by asking Adrian Thomas about his feelings of the past competition season.
So in the Cat 2 events in the British Opens, the flying was almost exactly the same as it always has been. People were making speed to fly decisions, flying at about half bar most of the time, or thereabouts, you know, varying depending on the strength of thermals. I personally find END gliders extremely easy to fly, very much easier than open class gliders. I think for me, they're a lot safer, but then I've spent a long time training on open class gliders so I can fly them. So it's a step down, it's a step safer. So I found the season, competition season, very relaxing from the point of view of just managing the wing and was able to focus on tactical decisions and things like that. It's far more critical on decision-making errors now because it's very difficult indeed to catch up if you make an error. Whereas with the open class gliders, it was always a little bit more forgiving because you could always climb very high, wait until you see where the next thermal is, and then get there very, very fast. And you can't do that to the same extent because the speed difference is gone. So I landed in the goal fields feeling much more relaxed than usual. When I made a mistake, I tried too hard and got stuck and got penalized for it. When things went well, I had a good time and my flying definitely improved over the season because I was able to focus more and more on the tactical side of things rather than worrying about keeping the wing open, which has always been a thing in the past. And I went from flying with the lead gaggle and occasionally going out front to being able to be out front or in control of the lead gaggle most of the time, which was great in the Cat 2s. In the Cat 1s, it's completely different to past years. When you go on a glide, the first thing you do from the start is the start gun goes and immediately everybody has the speed bar blocks overlapping. And every glide from then on is done with the speed bar fully blocks overlapping. And that makes sense because it's the correct speed to fly, given that we were flying in St. Andre with 3 meters per second thermals average. So you should be flying full speed. But what it means is that you have 150 gliders at the start. They're all everybody's within a few hundred meters of the start. The start gun goes, and then there's this huge gaggle, this big three-dimensional swarm of paragliders going all at almost exactly the same speed, with almost exactly the same glide, all at absolutely full speed, all heading to wherever the next thermal is. And then you get this really odd effect. Because of that, tiny differences in performance show up really, really dramatically. So anybody who's got, for some reason, a very slightly better glide or a very, very slightly higher speed has a massive advantage. And those showed up really dramatically. And so, oddly, counterintuitively, switching to serial class means that differences between gliders are much more important than they ever used to be, which was a surprise. I didn't expect that at all. So the Cat 1 events are really radically changed by changing to serial class in terms of the sorts of tactics, the sort of racing that's going on. But essentially it comes down to tiny differences between gliders, which show up on the glide, and then if you've got a better climb, you're always in a tactically strong position. And if you can make a good decision, that helps. But of course, because you're in this gaggle of 70 gliders all going around within 100 metres of each other, anybody who splits off to make a good decision to go a different route has 30 people going that route with them. It's very difficult to get a jump on everybody. It may always have been like that right at the front of the PwC, but if it was, it was only ever within a group of about 10, and now it's within a group of about 70. And it's really quite odd. It's quite different. But the other problem that we had at St Andre, which is one that I haven't really been aware of before, it's been kind of growing for a while, is that the gliders are so good now that at St Andre, where you used to have to glide along the ridge till you could climb to make the transition to the next ridge to glide along, now you just climb at Cheval Blanc and glide right across the entire area to the other end of the course, probably without turning, and there's no decision making. To me, that means that a lot of the fun has gone out of it, and I'm not quite sure what we do about that. I've been pushing for more performance all the time, but actually I think, paradoxically again, increasing the performance of the glider has actually taken away a lot of the fun from the process of going cross country, because you just don't have to make many decisions. You will get to somewhere where you can get up again. Whereas in the past, if you didn't get to the right place and climb high enough there, you wouldn't get up the other side, which is all a bit odd. But so, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the problem is that the obvious solution would be to have courses that involve maybe two turn points a long way apart. And so there are lots of route decisions because they're a long way apart. But there's the obvious safety issue. If you do long tasks, long distances, then the field is spread out over a huge area. And then if there is a problem for somebody, search and rescue becomes difficult. It's hard. It's really very hard, actually.
Was it what you expected?
In terms of safety, it did exactly what I expected. There was absolutely no change in safety from going to serial class. There were exactly the same number of accidents or rate of accidents per task as we've always had before, which was a shame, really, but that was exactly what I expected. I expected that on open class, people flew more conservatively, and on serial class, everybody flies full bar all the time, and actually, the serial class gliders suffer accidents almost as often as the open class gliders. They're more fragile in turbulence because they have to have collapses that are relatively easy to induce, so that when you do the testing collapses, they goes in soft and comes out soft. So they're more fragile, and therefore they collapse more often than the open class gliders did. They may be more benign after collapses, but it's not obvious to me that they are. I really enjoyed flying things. I found it very relaxing and very. I had a lot more time with a smile on my face this year than I have a lot less deep concentration was required. I could enjoy myself a lot more this year. But yeah, maybe I'm not quite at the skill level that the open class glider. You know, for me, when I got an open class glider, I would feel I needed to train for about 20 hours until I was able to fly it and get the maximum performance out of it. And for the first few hours of that time, I'd be quite nervous getting on the glider. And I'd do lots of ground handling to train with it, to practice with it. And with the serial class gliders, I can just jump on them and go. They don't feel difficult to me at all, which is great. And for me, that's great. But for the really top-end guys like Russell or Yassin, or these people who are semi-professional pilots, test pilots, flying all the time, and I think they've lost a lot.
Do you think overall it's had a positive or a negative effect on competitions?
I think the way it's been handled is undoubtedly negative. Whether serial class itself is the problem, I don't know. But the way it's been managed has been deeply hurtful to competitions. And the deeply sad thing is that the competition class rules that came in before the Piedrahita Worlds included a theoretical load test, 23G load test, that meant that light pilots could fly with appropriate line sets and evened out the difference between glider sizes to a large extent. So suddenly the small pilots were far more competitive than they've ever been, and that was lost completely. And that's a great shame. The women are inherently disadvantaged by the fact that they have a smaller body weight than the men.
How do you see the future of competitions now?
Personally, I think I really enjoyed flying my Boomerang X around, but it isn't quite competitive with the Enzos, maybe not with the Ice Peaks as well. It's closer to the Ice Peaks. Provided the testing people still test two-line gliders and allow more things to go through, then I'm quite looking forward to having a new and more competitive glider next year. I enjoyed the flying this year. I would like more clarity about what you're allowed to do to the gliders. So I was very frustrated that people were retrimming their gliders during the Europeans, and it makes quite a big difference. And I don't mind if people do retrim the gliders because they've gone out of trim, but I'd like to have some clarity in the rules about what you're allowed to do. If you're allowed to put one loop on the A, that's great. If you're allowed to put three loops high up in the line set so they're hidden from the inspectors, I think that's not great. At the moment, we've got that worst of all possible worlds where they have lots of rules that apply to the gliders and nobody knows what's actually going to be enforced, and several of the rules are actually almost impossible to enforce, and that's just silly. An open class was nice because everything was allowed, so nobody could cheat, which is great. I don't think anybody was cheating at the Europeans, but there were all sorts of things going on that were in the grey area, and I'd like them to clarify that and make it black and white, get rid of that horrible grey area. There are all sorts of pitfalls around, so the testing bodies are not particularly happy about testing two-line gliders, and that could cause a real problem, and there is a real danger that we'll be stuck with Enzos and Ice Peak 6s for years in the END class, so some shifting needs to go somewhere. I think we're in a very interesting design space for these gliders, and it's quite nice to see the Enzo has 7.5 aspect ratio and the Ice Peak has 5.8, and the Ice Peak's maybe slightly better at high speed or the same, and the Enzo's undoubtedly better in climb, which is what you expect. And I quite like it when you can have different design rules or optimizations that work in different conditions. I think that's quite interesting for racing, and I'd quite like to see more of that, really. The other thing that's become obvious is, in the past, END gliders were being marketed as being the absolute maximum you can have in the END category. But what that meant was that it's become very clear that they weren't the maximum that would pass the END tests. They were the maximum the manufacturers thought was appropriate for the pilots who are flying END. And it's become clear that actually we can reasonably trust the manufacturers to behave in a responsible way in their designs of gliders, which is really interesting. It's been proved by the fact that they then squeezed the Enzo and the Ice Peak through END. A year after Ozone, for instance, a year after they put the M4 through, saying it was the highest performance thing for the END class. And it becomes obvious that they were designing gliders for the people they expect to be flying them, which is great, actually. And I think it's true of all the manufacturers. And it's a shame that we've lost that, really. Yeah, I mean, they're clever people, and they know what they have a commercial interest in making gliders that will sell to the market they're trying to sell them to. And this serial classes END thing has completely distorted that. It's quite interesting to see afterwards that they really were behaving in a very responsible way in the END category up until CIVL changed the rules.
Here is Nick Greese's views.
You know, we had, for example, our first competition in the U.S. was at the Rat Race, and we had maybe Rob Sporer sold 50 or 60 Ice Peak 6s this year. Mm-hmm. And, we were shocked. All of a sudden, we went from having 15 guys on comp wings, and we've had a pretty good record with the people in the U.S. using competition wings. and we went from maybe having 15 because, you know, people very kind of didn't go up very much and unless until they were really ready to having 60 all of a sudden. And we thought, oh, man, you know, we're going to see some carnage. There wasn't a single incident, really. I don't think anyone even threw their – oh, maybe one person threw their reserve, but he actually had been flying comp wings before that. You know, for the first time, you know, we flew five or six tasks and all of a sudden really started changing my personal view on it. Like, oh, hey, hang on. Like, you know, maybe this is the way forward. Another benefit having the Zero class, now we had 50 or 60 pilots racing at the same speed. So the guys who were newer to competition but could handle the glider now were able to learn a lot more, I believe, from racing with the lead gaggle at least for two-thirds of the race. It seemed that the lead gaggle was still able to pull away and finish the race a little better usually, and especially if there was five or six tasks, then the experience came into play. But I think that it was amazing having so many more people to race around with. Also, you could see just huge personal satisfaction for a lot of pilots who have been flying 2-3s for a long time but couldn't quite handle the hot, you know, two-line comp wings and are now, you know, making huge strides in their results. So to me, that was actually really... really cool to see. And you know, when everybody's having a better time, the whole comp feels better, you know. And it's about fun, you know. We're not making any money, we're not garnering these huge sponsorships, you know. It's a game. And you know, I am leaning more and more, especially after the World Cup in France, to being very careful in the conditions that we play the game, and you know, having good equipment. Now, having said that, I actually had to throw my reserve on a serial class competition where I didn't even have really a collapse on the 10.2 or the R11. So there's still paragliders, and this leads me to the thing that, you know, I would like to see people work on is, you know, setting course parameters. I think in France, for example, we flew in the Lee the entire day for 3 hours until they stopped the task, and no one wanted to say level three. So, you know, that to me was, you know, it didn't really matter what wing you were on. It was going to be a beating. And a number of people were in the trees and a few people were injured. I think the wings are a step in the right direction. I think in some cases, I think these are the first attempt at them. And so, you know, I'm actually thrilled to see what the next generation brings. Sounds like we have one more year of this. I would like to see even maybe a competition class come back, though, that is somewhat that is certified. And I would like to, I just wish the manufacturers could agree, you know. In terms of the gaggling, I think it was really cool to have more people up there. And, you know, they flew the gliders just fine. In the U.S. we try to go by documentation. We have no documented cases of midairs this year. You know, one of the skills of flying a paraglider is called glider handling, right? I mean, we agree that people being able to keep the glider over their head, people like Russ Ogden, that's what he does for a job. Dab de Gaulle, right? Test pilots. But also, there's a guy, you know, in the U.S., Josh Cohen is one of the best glider handlers in the country, if not the world. We've now taken away one of their skills because other people weren't as good at it. You know, this is another way to look at it, but it's not that they had big balls. They were just really good at controlling their gliders. So there's two theories there. One is that it's big balls. The other that it's glider handling. And if it is glider handling, then we've effectively said, hey, a lot of us aren't good at it, so we're going to take that part of the equation out of it. You know, that's one theory. I'm not saying that it's the theory. The other one is that, yeah, it has opened it up for people who are more creative. Having said that, in every World Cup I'm in, I'm amazed at how much everybody follows the arrow and the gaggle, and myself included. In some ways, because you can't make a mistake, I think it's actually taken away some of the creativity. You know, we used to be able to, if you did make a mistake, like, ooh, this is not exactly the right line, you could still catch up if you had big balls or could handle a glider. And now you're done, you know? So... personally, I don't see that. I think it's 50-50. It's kind of a break-even kind of deal again. While I see the merits of both sides, if that makes sense. I have to say that, you know, I've done a few big flights this year, and I prefer to fly my R11. It's way more comfortable. I love it, and I miss it. And it was the most brilliant glider that I've ever flown. And to me, the trade-off was worth it for the stability, especially in big air. The Enzo is a lot more work for me as a general rule than the R11 was. You know, I generally don't want a slowed down glider in big air. I want the glider to bite Now I fly the Enzo because I have some friends who are on Ice Peak 6s that I fly with, and I want to stay with them. You know, I want to fly with my friends. You know, it's kind of like in the competition. We all just want to fly with our friends. So I am leaning, I guess, more and more towards let's make a competition class. Let's agree on some things. Let's make these things more safe, but let's keep pushing the boundaries of performance, because without it, we wouldn't have the Ice Peak 6. We wouldn't have the Enzo. You know, I do find it kind of ironic. Everybody's like bashing the comp. Well, without them, you wouldn't have had these wings. So, you know, looking where we came from, saying, look, yeah, we pushed it a little too hard there, possibly. Although I have to say, you know, my Ice Peak XP, and it was way more dangerous to fly than the R11 or the 10.2. So, you know, that's another thing that I don't really understand is, like, you know, how this critical mass came, and people in the World Cup should be able to handle the equipment, or the World Championship should be able to handle a compling if you're at the top of the world pyramid of this sport. Now, you can't make the entire course line safe. You know, we need to train the culture of our pilots a little bit better. And that's going to take years and years and years. And, you know, so I don't even know how we go about that. I don't know. I also, you know, this year I had the longest flight of my life on the Enzo. And so, you know, and it was the longer flight than I've ever done in my home site by like 60 miles. So by 100K. It's 100K longer than anything I've done before. It was a world-class day, you know, and I was with a good friend. But, you know, we were on serial wings, and we were just, you know, cruising along. And it was magnificent. And I was out flying with my, you know, a great friend of mine. And, you know, we were taking pictures and, you know, up at Cloud Base. So that's what I mean. It's still flying, you know. I think, you know, at the time when the whole thing went down, I was most angry at Civil. I didn't mind racing a lesser wing. I didn't mind. And like I said, after the rat race, just to recap, I was thrilled because I thought people were going to fall out of the sky. That we had like 50 new pilots that have never been on comp wings, now, you know, flying new comp wings. And they did great. No one fell out of the sky. You know, the World Cup is still the World Cup. It's still the Europeans, you know. I mean, the top guys are at the top, and the top guys are out in front. You know, same thing at the Super Final in Mexico. The guy who flew the best, Peter Neuschwander, flew the best. It was incredible to watch. He had one. Day after day, just incredible flying, you know, and he won. I don't see much detriment. I would like to see them continue, I think, along this path. I can't in good conscience say, no, we should go back to a less certified wing. We want safety, you know, as part of the design process. I just wish that they could get through the political manipulations that are going on within the manufacturers and the testing bodies to create the safest wings for us.
Next, I asked Adam Hill what he thinks.
How did you feel about it beforehand?
I loved flying the open class two-liners. The R11, I think a lot of pilots say the same thing. The R11 was probably the nicest wing I've ever flown. I love the handling, and I have no incidents on it.
How did you feel then that this season went in comparison?
Banning of open class. I think a lot of comp pilots started this new year with these new serial wings with a pretty negative frame of mind. But, you know, it's a pretty addictive activity, so, you know, we duly brought our serial class wings. But, you know, the real proof is in the goal field, how many smiles are still. And it was still a huge buzz. You know, regardless of what wing you're on, it's still a lot of fun, flying with your mates. So the first goal field for me, my first comp on the Enzo, I mean, I loved it. If somebody handed us these wings 3 years ago, we'd bite their hands off. Because they're terrific wings. They're great fun to fly. They're certainly easier, more comfortable than the open class wings. You know, I still think they're a lot of fun to fly. And you could just see that on the faces of all the pilots in goal. So yes, it is different. It's a very different game. Racing paragliders is still racing paragliders, and it's a lot of fun. And you're still seeing the same guys turning up at these comps, and we're all having a good time.
Talk me through then how you think the competition tactics have changed.
You haven't got the same speed. I flew Ozone, so I was used to the R11, now on the Enzo. You've probably got about 10Ks of usable speed less on these serial wings. You know, previously, the majority of pilots flying open class didn't use the full speed, didn't fly full speed through active air, through turbulent air, through strong lift. And a lot of tasks were won, or a lot of the top boys were more than happy to fly max speed, pulley to pulley, on an R11 through stronger air. And so a lot of, you know, it rewarded guys with, who had the balls to what the serial class has done, where the default setting is pulleys wrapped over, it has allowed the guys who didn't have the biggest balls to now compete on an equal basis, to fly at the same speed as everybody else. If everyone's happy to fly at the same speed, what it's made, I mean, how do you get the advantage now? Well, the gaggles are huge. It's very hard to shake 100 pilots now. All the gaggles are just massive. So the emphasis has shifted from, you know, headbanging to route selection and climbing. But what's interesting is that the same guys are still winning the comps. You know, everyone said, oh, this is all, you know, it's now it's just a roll of the dice. But it's not. The same guys are still in the top 15, 20 that were in the top 15 or 20 during the open class era. You know, it shows you it's all about the monkey hanging under the wing than the actual wing. Serial class for me has very much leveled the playing field. Paragliding, you've got a bunch of headstrong individuals and no one likes being told what they can and can't do. You know, in the name of safety, you know, who are these suits to say we're going to protect you from yourselves? So I think that got the backs up of a lot of people. And the safety thing's interesting. You know, there's my personal opinion and then there's the stats. My personal opinion is there's no discernible difference at all in safety. These serial class wings can still bite. I've got four mates who flew open class in PWCs and Cat 1s for 2 years, and they never threw their reserves, with probably 2,000 hours of two-liner flying between them. And then within 6 months of this serial class racing, all four of them chucked their laundry. So, you know, these wings bite, these serial class wings. You should be under no illusion, you know.
I mean, a lot of people, when they actually brought in serial class, a lot of people said that one of the problems would be that people would think, oh, well, these are like little noddy gliders and, you know, they're certified, so therefore, you know, they wouldn't take them as seriously as a prototype or an open class or a two-liner. And therefore, they would fly them at like ridiculous speeds and they would bite them because they wouldn't fly as actively as they would do on an open class glider. Do you think that there's an aspect of that?
No, I don't. I think these wings just bite. I think every pilot gives these gliders respect, certainly. I mean, you can't not, you know, fly it at full speed. I say it's full speed, it's about 60 Ks an hour, and you're certainly giving it respect. You're certainly hanging on to those Bs and using it actively. But when they go, and they do collapse a lot more. I've never seen more collapses in a comp than I have in the past 2 weeks in Saint André on these serial wings. I mean, the gliders were falling left, right, and centre, you know. The problem is, when they go, they really don't, a lot of the time, they really don't recover. They're very, very hard to recover. The difference with open class is you rarely saw a glider bent out of shape. Fair enough, you know, 50% of the time, when it did go wrong, it was unrecoverable and you had to chuck your laundry. But the number of incidents when it went wrong, vastly, you know, smaller compared to these serial class wings. I mean, they're falling out of the sky all the time. So I think there's absolutely no increase in safety by flying these serial class. I mean, I think that's clearly the case. You know, people are still getting hurt. People are still throwing their reserves and these wings collapse and they bite. The desire to improve safety by introducing serial class hasn't worked. It's certainly changed racing. You know, I don't think in a negative way. It's put a different emphasis on a different set of skills. In my opinion, safety has not been addressed, has not been improved at all.
Here's what Josh Cohn feels.
How do you think that the season, or this season, this competition season, worked out in retrospect?
I think it worked out okay. I don't think we solved safety in paragliding competitions. I don't think it made things worse. I think it maybe made things a little bit better. And maybe having been seen to make a step in the right direction, you could say maybe we did that.
Where were you in the spectrum beforehand?
I've kind of gone through a big evolution on it, I guess. So back 10 years ago when serial class came up, initially I did end up flying serial a couple seasons there. Kind of wanted to give it a chance, but then in the end wasn't that convinced about it. And so when people started talking about it, I guess a year and a half ago or so, I was not really in favor of serial. I just kind of didn't think it would really solve the problem, and didn't really find the idea of flying kind of dumbed down gliders very appealing. And I was concerned that it would lead to serial gliders that were at, you know, pushing the limits and maybe not actually that much nicer to fly. When the decision was made during the Worlds, I wasn't really happy about the way that was made. But then I ended up on the safety task force and sort of was forced to be put in the position of trying to think a little more big picture about it. That made it harder for me anyway to kind of push for a pure, like, no limits sort of stance. Because I think we've always had sort of issues with comp gliders pushing the limits, because, you know, if you're going for performance, it's going to, you know, safety and handling are going to become sort of lower priorities. So using END is kind of not an ideal option, but I think it's sort of one that was available. And it has had some effects that were probably good for safety, like limiting speed. And I think we're maybe kind of lucky that the gliders tended to be limited to pretty much the same top speed. So it's turned out to be fairly fair. Gliders haven't really been at too much of a disadvantage versus each other. And I mean, it takes away a little bit of the thrill of flying a glider that's challenging to handle. But then again, it lets you kind of concentrate on the task more. And I found competing this year has still been fun in much the same ways as it was in the past. At the kind of national level competitions, it's not that different. At the super final, it seemed like it was a bit different because people were feeling like they were bumping up against the limitations of the top speed of the gliders. And so there was more of a tendency to just go full speed. You know, even sometimes when I don't think it was really the optimal speed to fly, because they just kind of felt like they wanted to be going faster, or like they'd be left behind if they didn't go full speed on every transition. But I definitely felt like there were times when I was able to make up some position by doing more kind of dolphin flying on transitions. And some people have claimed that it's sort of ruined the whole game and, you know, taken away a big part of the tactics, and I think that's a little overblown. I think the previous generation of gliders, R11s and so on, we wouldn't really fly them at full speed on transitions generally anyway. That would just be pretty much on final glide. So, I don't think it's changed that hugely. And then the previous generation, before the two-liners, the top speeds weren't really that much higher than the current serial gliders anyway, so it's not that big of a change.
What is your view of the future now? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't get the impression that it'll just go back to where it was before. My impression is either it'll stay serial class for a while, or we'll get some new comp glider standard that will, I don't know, either have a result similar to serial class or be somewhere in between that and you know, more open. But I guess it's all kind of in the details, and it seems like it'll be a real challenge for someone to work out the details in time to have something, by the end of this year, basically, so that it could take effect a year from then. I guess the one big question is whether, new certified gliders coming out before then. New gliders keep being certified, so I suppose it's likely. Whether there will be new ones from the kind of dominant manufacturers maybe is a big question. And we'll see. I don't know. I kind of suspect that performance might plateau for a couple of years, but you never know. They've definitely surprised us before. It's interesting to see that people were able to certify pure two-liners, although it looks like that's not actually as important performance-wise as we might have thought a year or two ago, because the performance all seems to be fairly similar. And just sort of reducing the total line length a lot like you see on some of the sort of 2.5 miners, seems to work pretty well also. And it's also interesting to see that the performance has kind of trickled down into the lower classes. And we heard a lot of people kind of predicting it was the end of the world earlier in the season, that you know, the serial class was being turned into a racing class, and then the sport class was being turned into more like the serial class. And definitely there's some truth to that, but I think people are generally smart enough to kind of know that when they get a new high-end C, that it's basically the same idea as like a old school D. I don't know. My impression is that the end of the world hasn't come as a result of that.
Next up is Yasin Savov, recorded fresh from winning the European Championships.
Yasin, first of all, can you tell me a little bit about how you felt about the whole open class and serial class thing? Because I've got the impression that you were quite pro-open class beforehand.
I was not so much pro-open class as I was, and still am, against END. Because I don't really mind some limitations to the open class. If it makes us safer, I'm for it. I never really thought about it because it was just the way things were. I never really questioned it. I started questioning it, if it's really the best way to go, only after we got stuck with serial class. After that, Worlds of last year, then I started realizing that, yeah, indeed, there are some things that are not optimal with open class. Particularly, yeah, we can have some small limitations that were already being introduced, like about the line strength. And the other thing that is not really optimal with open class is that some pilots get, some factory pilots get the best prototypes, just a few pilots, and an advantage that, a significant advantage, that, let's say, normal pilots, regular pilots, cannot have, and it's not so good for the spirit of competition.
When serial class came in, presumably you had some expectations of how the season would change, or how the competition circuit would change. Did it work out like you expected, or was it different?
It worked out pretty much as I thought. The glider I was flying, which was Enzo, pretty much everything, the thermaling, the performance, safety, was quite a bit like with open class. But the huge difference was the top speed. The top speed was very low with these gliders, and still is. It's we can't even go 60. I think it's something like people we can go 60, but according to my measurements, it's less. It's like 57, 58 maybe, maximum speed. Not many people agree with me on these numbers, but this is what I saw on my instrument. So yeah, that was the huge change, and this is my huge problem with END as well. It totally changed the game. That's the huge thing. The lower the top speed. Now, if you want to be successful, you have to be flying with the group, because you don't have the extra speed available to do something different, like I like doing. I like doing my thing. I have a lot of fun like that. It brings me joy and satisfaction. And now it's okay to win. Also, it brings me satisfaction to win the Europeans. It's a big satisfaction. But I didn't like the way I want, the way I had to win. If I wanted to win, I had to do it this way, and I didn't really enjoy winning in this way. Just controlling all the time the others, and kind of controlling the group, controlling the rabbits in front. Before I used to be the rabbit quite a lot. That's a pity that it. You can't really go faster than the others anymore.
So basically, serial class doesn't really suit your flying style.
Not at all, and I think it's really not good for racing in general for many reasons. But especially this reason, that it kills the initiative in pilots. It kills the individuality. You know, so when you're killing this, you're killing a whole aspect of flying. It's now it's much more about just controlling rather than shining, let's say. Mm-hmm.
Would you say then overall that there was a positive or a negative effect on competitions?
Well, there are good things and bad things about it, but overall I would say definitely it has had a negative effect. And it's quite normal because, anyway, even the people who introduced serial class, they didn't introduce it as something that they thought was optimal, the best variant. But they did it out of necessity because it was the best possible options. Because, yeah, they thought, okay, we have a problem with safety with open class, so we need to do something. What to do? Okay, we put just a serial class because it's the only thing we have. But now it has to change, yeah, for sure, because we can have another class, something in between. And I think almost everybody now realizes that, yeah, we have to make some compromise between serial class and open class, something that is made for competition, because END is not made for competition. It's made for pilots, just recreational pilots, normal pilots, let's say. We have to make something for us.
How do you see the future of competitions?
Competitions in the future, I see them, it's difficult to see actually because of this complicated situation. There are so many different interested parties, let's say, and pilots and different companies, and everybody has a different vision of what is best. So it's quite difficult, I think, to predict exactly what will happen, but I'm quite optimistic that reason will prevail and we won't be stuck with some crazy German solution of ENB or something like that, or even ENB is quite radical. Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic that we'll find some compromise, something between END and open class. That will be a good compromise between safety and performance. And in performance, specifically top speed, this is what, yeah, again, I it's my number one focus to bring back more top speed. I think we need at least 65 kilometers per hour if we want to have exciting competitions where we have complete racing, not just dominating the group, but actually people being able to fly alone. So, yeah, I'm quite optimistic about it. And if we get a good competition class like that, where also it's not too difficult for smaller companies, especially to certify gliders, meaning not too expensive. Also, this will be good for the industry in general. And I think I'm quite optimistic about this too, that they will not make it nearly as expensive as certifying in END. So yeah, I think it will be better. After, I guess, 2014.
And here's Craig Morgan's views. In terms of the open class versus serial debate, where did you stand on that?
I was not in favour of axing the open class to step down to the serial class.
Having competed this season on serial class, how did the season work out for you in retrospect?
It wasn't a particularly good season for me. My style of flying isn't particularly favoured by flying a standard glider. I think I'm probably more of a braver pilot, willing to take risks, and a bit more of a hard-charging pilot. Being able to fly an open-class wing with all the performance that allows suits my style of flying. If you want to make a break, if you're able to make a break and go hard and chance some low glides, then you can certainly lead out. You can make a break and you can tend to make it stick. A lot of gaggle pilots do fly the gaggle. That's what they fly. They fly the percentage way. They look to improve marginally and they make incremental improvements through the competition and through their WPRs. And that's absolutely fine. But I'm not too worried about my percentage flying. and just flying very conservatively and pimping and doing all that sort of business. I like to take a chance when it comes my way. I like to make a break and I like to fly hard. And the type of glider that we have now inhibits that style of flying. It doesn't really hold much speed. It's very easy to push as full as you can go, as fast as you can go. And I've heard it said in many reports, and it's pretty true. Standard speed is half trim, and when you want to go for it, sorry, half speed, and when you want to go for it, it's full speed. It wasn't like that with the open class gliders. The top end, the half bar and above, was only for the brave-hearted, I should think. It was full on at that stage, and my ability to deal with that sort of stress was probably one of my stronger flying points. And when I did fly well in a competition, it was based around that. There's the opposite side of the coin, where a lot of people say now the results reward the pilot rather than the glider. And I can accept that. That's absolutely fine. And you do need to be a very switched on pilot these days to get consistent results. So even though there are both two sides of the coin there, my personal preference was to fly an open class glider that gave all the added performance extras, as well as having a high risk factor. You can't talk around that. There is a high risk factor. A blowout at high speeds, such as the open class gliders were doing, 70K and above, you know, you're going to get more fallout than if you have a blowout on 60, 65K gliders, as the serial gliders are. So, but I was prepared to take that risk, and I enjoyed taking that risk, and that suited my style of flying. So that's the bottom line for me. I preferred flying an open class glider because it suited my style of flying, which is fundamentally risk taking. And I'm not talking risk with my life. I'm talking risks with chance in my arm, flying hard, going for low saves, making a break, and really rolling the dice in that department.
Yeah, I mean, you've always had a reputation of somebody who pushes. In what ways did you find that the competition had changed?
Having heard such good reports about Chelan competition last year, I knew that I wanted to go to Sun Valley. So I committed myself to it, and it's a lot of commitment. It's a long way. It's a long time out. It's quite expensive, but I knew it was going to be a good competition. And so it panned out. It was full on. It doesn't really conjure up what Sun Valley was. It was phenomenal. And to be honest with you, it suited my style of flying, albeit on a serial class glider. Conditions were strong. For me, it came very close to completely invigorating me again and putting me back in the hunt. But I made my decisions, and so Sun Valley was absolutely awesome. Strong conditions. The gliders, it was probably good that we were on the serial class gliders because it was very turbulent in places. I don't know what the statistics were for reserves and people piling in.
Was it a different competition because it was serial class?
Yes, yeah, I think it was. It was all that. It was very steady. Well, no, steady. Steady's the wrong word. It was anything but steady. It was very full on. My thoughts about maybe not being so competitive, shall we say, because I was on a serial class glider, were immediately dispelled because there was a great calibre of pilots out there, and I found myself in a reasonable position. But in terms of the flying, it was different because the gaggle flying was exactly that. Previously in open class competitions, it wasn't surprising at all to right from the off to see guys off, you know, disappearing into the sunset, making their breaks and just going at it, you know, and chancing their arms. Whereas this competition, certainly for me, I felt was all about sticking as a big mob gaggle. Everyone flew at the same speed. Nobody was particularly challenged to fly at sort of three-quarter bar, you know, or full bar, and off we went. We all buzzed round at the same speed. And so it was interesting because I flew differently because of it. You know, I did a lot more thinking because of it, which was great. You know, it was great. But you think a lot more and you look at the sky a lot more and you realise that you're not going to be able to make a break in the mid part of a 120, 107, you know, huge task, what have you, and realistically make it stick because you didn't have the pace of a glider and you knew darn well that if you made a mistake anywhere and got held up, you'd just get swamped completely as opposed to the open class where you could always try and make your break stick. So it was very much more a gaggle flight, which in itself was quite welcome, really, because the terrain we were flying over was so remote and so bonafide that realistically for 4/5 of the task, you were extremely happy to stay as a big mob where eyes could see you and you could see others. And if you managed to land, you know, certainly someone would know, would see what was going on and where you were. So it made us fly differently. In itself, I was quite surprised because it was so exciting. I'm not sure if I was getting the buzz from the terrain we were flying on. So, yeah, so the answer to your question is yes, I did find it a different style of flying. Had it been in some of the places we've flown before, it may have been less exciting, shall I say, than it could have been. But the terrain we were flying over and the conditions we were flying in just had you on sort of full sensory perception and just extremely excited about the whole task you were flying. So it could have been a slightly less exciting competition, but the environment made it full on.
If you'd actually gone to the Europeans and flown in San Andre, which you obviously know very well,
yeah,
how do you think that would have compared?
Well, I like San Andre. It's very strong conditions, and I like to fly it fast, and I've done quite well at San Andre in the past. So that would have been the acid test, really, for me, flying at top level, because there's no doubt about it, the calibre of pilots at the Europeans is, you know, top notch, absolutely. So it would have been a real challenge for me to have flown the serial class glider, which doesn't particularly suit my style of flying. But I think I knew what would have been required on the serial class gliders and flown in amongst those. So I think it was certainly straight off the back of Sun Valley. You know, a lot of pilots who flew Sun Valley would have come back and would have been feeling, if not bulletproof, certainly well and truly bedded in, you know, in rough conditions, because San Andre can get rough and strong as well. But coming back from Sun Valley, you know, you're sort of really road tested, if you will. So I think I'd have been quite comfortable out there giving it as much speed as I probably could do.
Well, to be honest, my question wasn't so much about how you think you would have done, but how it would have changed your competition tactic, other than just staying with a gaggle.
That's it. I like to fly from the front, as Yasin does. That's one style of flying. Or you fly the gaggle and you let everyone make the decision. You let all the people make the mistakes they were going to. And then you mop up a good position with a gaggle finish, you know, and then you keep doing that time after time after time. And all the brave pilots sooner or later are going to make a mistake and you come in well, having made no decisions, having chanced your arm, having not been a brave pilot, having not contributed to the task. And that's not my style and that's not the Yasin style. So, however, to have done well in the Europeans and to have been flying on these style of gliders, you have to just put yourself back in the box. You have to fly the gaggle. So it just proves out time and time again, if you're flying in this serial class competition glider, you have to stick with the gaggle. And then within the last, you know, what would you say, 15 kilometers, look to make a wee break and try and make it stick or get lucky or just be consistent all the time and get a top five, top eight finish. And that's how you're going to come in with a great finish overall. So, yeah, undoubtedly, I wouldn't have flown how I normally fly because I get stuck as many times as I make a break and make it stick. And you just can't afford to do that on these gliders because you'll never catch up. On the open class, you could, because if you got stuck, could still catch up, because the type of pilot I am and Yasin is, you're prepared to push the speed enough to catch up with the pilots that aren't pushing enough speed in the gaggle. So you could catch up and you could get yourself back in the game. But you make a mistake in the serial class and you're gone. You're just left behind.
Personally, how would you like to see the future of competitions now?
Personally, I'd be happy to fly open class gliders again. I would. I've learned my lesson on paragliders. I've taken crashes and I've come back from it. And I try not to let gliders get away from me these days. That's not to say they couldn't. But I personally would be happy to fly open class gliders. But I am equally as happy for other characters not to come to grief on them. So I think there's sufficient excitement in flying a very high performance serial glider. I certainly would pick and choose my destinations for flying based on my own personal desires and pursuits. So I am very happy to see the competition paragliding move forward with more consideration towards safety. So the bottom line is I'm happy for it to proceed as it is, with gliders are a bit slower that are taking more of a consideration towards keeping pilots safe. Let's face it, there's so few of us out there anyway. So I'm happy to move forward. I'm equally just as happy to have had the period, as I say, on the open class gliders where we were all doing our thing. So, yeah, I'm happy for it to proceed as it is. I'd like to say that even though I've sold my Enzo glider, I've hung on to my R11 because it is such a phenomenal flying experience that I couldn't afford to be without one. So it is my wing of choice these days. I sincerely hope it never bites me, but I feel so confident on it when it's in the air. It's so solid, so reliable, and it's just a complete pleasure to fly. I hope they get round to designing something of its performance levels in the future with an added safety margin. Not sure they will, but I'm just going to be hanging on to my R11 for a little while longer because it certainly still is my wing of choice and I'm very happy to fly it.
Finally, I asked Ozone test pilot Russ Ogden on his perspective.
How did it affect you personally in competitions?
In terms of tactically, what's changed now is that we all seem to be gliding at the same speed. And so what it means now is that it's harder to catch up if you get left behind. It's also harder to make a really big break at the front if you want to charge ahead. That being said, what it means is that it hones your skills because you have to climb extremely well, not make mistakes, and constantly make good decisions. So on the impact of the actual tactical way in which we raise paragliders, my personal opinion is that it hasn't deterred that in any way. It's the beautiful game is still the beautiful game, and now it just punishes your mistakes even more. I'm actually quite happy with the way it's turned out, actually.
Is it because that suits your particular racing style?
No, I think it's actually added to safety. I think it's taken away part of the race, which for me personally wasn't that interesting, which was, you know, full speed final glides for 10, 15 kilometres or so. When you're doing that at 70 kilometres an hour, it's a lot more hardcore and a bit more involving than doing it at 60 kilometres an hour. So I think from that point of view, just capping our top speed has had a positive effect on safety, and I feel safer in the air when I'm racing now because I know that I'm not pushing the glider to its absolute limit. And also, if I do take a collapse at 60 kilometres an hour, the speed and energy and inertia involved in that collapse is significantly less than if I take the same collapse at 70 kilometres an hour. So I'm happy from a safety point of view.
Okay. I mean, a lot of people originally said that they thought that actually it would be less safe because people didn't have as much respect for the gliders. You know, when they were flying a prototype comp wing, they were flying it really, really actively. And on the serial class wing, they were sort of saying, oh, it's an empty glider. I can just, you know, push pulley to pulley and, I don't have to fly it as actively as a comp glider. But from all the discussions I've had with other people, it seems that that's not the case, that people do have still a lot of respect for the serial, you know, for, well...
You have to have a lot of respect for these gliders. No, for sure, for sure. And I think anyone who flies a modern END, even an old-fashioned END with no respect, is asking for trouble because they can bite and they will bite. My personal opinion is that was an unfounded argument and doesn't really hold true.
People were saying that they thought that actually there was as many collapses as there was in open class.
Oh, sure. The certification doesn't stop collapses. That's not the point of certification. So by having a certified glider, it doesn't mean you're going to reduce the amount of collapses. If anything, the opposite is true. You know, we've shown with the latest two liners that they're more collapse resistant than most certified wings. But I think what happens when you reduce top speed significantly is that the chances of a cascade occurring are reduced slightly. It hasn't made the sport safe, but it has made it slightly safer. But because of the nature of the wings we're flying, there's still going to be incidents when pilots lose control of their wings, for sure.
Well, especially when you're flying them in fairly full-on places like Sun Valley or San Andre.
It doesn't really matter where you're flying them, it's if you let them go. You know, if you let the collapse go big and you let it develop into a cravat, if you don't make the correct input at the right time, then yes, they can develop into a situation where you need to throw your reserve. But that's been, you know, competition paragliding since the early 90s. Nothing's changed there. I don't think it has changed in the tactic department. What has changed is that you do have slightly less options now because you've got slightly less top speed. But what it means tactically is that you have to be good from the beginning of the race till the end of the race. And if you do make a mistake, then it's harder just to get a strong climb from behind and just nail it full speed to try and catch up again. So tactically, it has reduced options, but I don't think it's taken away from the overall strategy of flying a race.
It seems to me that the people who've actually lost out or have got the perception of losing out are those that relied greatly on their testosterone and those who are quite light pilots.
I think it's perceptions. I think everyone's been affected by it in exactly the same way, with the exception of smaller pilots who now struggle to get a glider that's the right size for them, for sure. That's an issue of certification and market demand. But that aside, from a strategic point of view, the changes have been the same for everyone, whether you're a testosterone pilot or whatever that means. But I don't think anyone has a major advantage or disadvantage now, apart from small people. The pure performance of the modern E&Ds is no different than it was a couple of years ago with the open class. The only difference now is the top speed.
Well, I mean, an Enzo is basically just an R10, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, an Enzo is an R10, yeah, with a few extra lines. But it doesn't really take away from the overall performance a huge amount. As for new people coming into the sport, then yes, that is a good thing. But then I question their reasoning because, you know, like we made specifically clearly with the Enzo, you know, it is a competition glider that's been certified E&D. It's not what we would normally classify as a classic E&D wing. And people who are buying wings purely based on grades of certification is a false one, I believe. Does serial class, I think serial class have a positive effect on competitions? I think serial class has, I mean, certainly for me individually, it has had a positive effect, having a glider that has a limited top speed. Does it a negative effect on competitors? What it means now is that it's harder for smaller companies to get gliders certified because of the cost involved and the numbers sold. If you're a larger company, and don't forget all companies are small anyway by default, but some of the larger companies, if they expect to sell several hundred competition wings, the cost of certification is not too bad. It's still worthwhile doing so. If you're a small company, or even if you're a large company, you expect to sell 5 or 10 competition wings, then the cost of certification becomes too much, and to a point where you'll stop actually making competition wings. So I don't think it's a brilliant, it's not brilliant for the overall market if you want to see all the different companies sporting a competition wing at the top level events. The main focus of every manufacturer will be to make gliders, you know, for normal pilots, for the normal EN A, B, C, D categories. That's the bread and butter for paragliding companies. Competitions is just the icing on the cake, really.
But a lot of people have been, well, originally people were saying that if there's no more development kind of at the top level of glider design, then it's not going to filter, you know, the technology's not going to filter down, and lower EN classes will not kind of benefit from that development. Do you think that's the case, or...?
I don't. I would say it's the opposite. If we have designers spending 200 hours a year designing competition wings, that time is not spent designing ENC wings. Although, yes, stuff filters down, the stuff that they're designing on a comp wing, they can design straight away into an ENC wing. And I would give you the Nova Mentor as a case in point, where, you know, they don't have a successful competition wing at this moment, but they've made an extremely successful ENV wing.
Yeah, that's doing really well all over the place.
That's doing really well all over the place. Where has his competition research filtered down into that wing? No, he's done this research and he's put it straight into that wing. So I don't think it will have a negative effect at all. No, it just gives designers more time to design what they're trying to design. Yeah, we have lost a little bit of variety. But then, you know, a few years ago, we had competition seasons where, all right, there was some variety, but still, the best glider was not available to everyone.
Yeah.
And if you had access to that glider, you could do good things because you had a performance advantage. And that's something specifically we didn't really want to happen with the R10. We wanted to be able to get a glider out there that everyone can use and everyone has a chance of being on the podiums and so on. You know, it's a bit like the serial class where it's more inclusive because more pilots are willing to fly competitions. When gliders come together like they've done now, it's what happens is that more people have a better chance of winning. So from a pilot point of view, I don't think it's such a bad thing, because it's almost like flying one class racing.
So how do you see the future then? Or what would you like to see?
What would I like to see? First of all, I don't know how it's going to develop. I think there seems to be difficulties amongst those people making decisions to actually come to an agreement. What I would like to see is a restricted class. I'd like to see restricted aspect ratio and restricted top speed. I think restricting aspect ratio is a simple and easy way to make restrictions, and I think there is a direct correlation between aspect ratio and passive safety. I think there's a direct correlation between aspect ratio and ease of use. And I think there's a direct correlation between aspect ratio and the likelihood of cravats or cascading events. So I think restricting aspect ratio will be a step in the right direction, and restricting top speed, so for fairness, so that everybody is flying at the same speed and not exceeding, you know, the speed limits, not exceeding 60, 65 kilometres an hour, I think has positive, healthy benefits to the sport. How we actually impose a top speed limit is another matter, and that's a very difficult thing to do, and I'm not sure of exactly how that is going to be achieved.
Without kind of a load of bureaucrats coming and checking everybody's wing and stuff, I can see it being fraught with problems.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's going to be a very difficult one to find a way that is fair. It seems to me there's a conflict between fairness and safety. The best thing for fairness is to have no rules. Then you can't break any rules. And no one has a bad feeling about someone putting loops in lines or changing their speed system or something. If there is an open class and there is no rules, then there's no rules to be broken and it's fair. But for security, there is benefits of having restricted top speed. But how you make sure that everyone restricts their top speed in exactly the same way is the complex part of the question. Sort of in conclusion to this year, because I didn't do that many tasks this year, I only flew Sun Valley and the European Championships. So I've only done about 10 tasks this year, 8 of which have been valid. But every year I've done competitions, I felt safer and safer as a pilot. And that's because of gliders improving, becoming more collapse resistant, and myself improving as a pilot. I'd say the two safest years I've had is the last 2 or 3 years, flying 2 liners, because now I've got complete control over the wing throughout the speed range. So I've actually felt safer in the last 2 years than I ever have done in my flying career. And this year, again, I think I've felt safer because I've got that control of the 2-liner. I've got the pleasure of flying the wing that I like to fly. But now I don't have the added pressure to push it to its very limit at 70 kilometres an hour on the final glides. So I'd say this year racing has been the safest year of racing I've ever had, yeah. And that's not to say it can't improve for the future, and I think we can. And I think by reducing aspect ratio and keeping a lid on top speeds, we can keep the beautiful game as it is and make things slightly safer. We'll never make it safe. We can make it safer.
Thanks to Adrian, Nick, Adam, Josh, Yasin, Craig and Ross for their insights into the last season. If you would like to hear more on the topic, you can download the season roundup of the 2012 from the sports or traditional serial class perspective at www.judithmole.net/blog.